Yeah, there's a lot of famous clubs out there, and Sgt. Pepper's is certainly one of them. Hello! As we broadcast from Borgata. And by the way, if it was 20 years ago today, back in the late 60s, and it's 80 years ago, I guess, something like that. All right, so...
Did you ever hear the story about Jimi Hendrix performing Sgt. Pepper's? It was like Saturday. They released, I don't know the exact days, they released Sgt. Pepper's on Friday, okay. And the very next day, Jimmy opens his show in London. Yeah, with Sgt. Pepper's that had just been released the day before.
Wow.
In tribute to the Beatles.
That's great.
It is. It's amazing.
I like that.
Super
stuff.
Cool.
So one other thing about the Eagles, and then we'll get right back to the phones. Here's something in 2 weeks we haven't discussed with the team because there have been far bigger issues to discuss. But they kind of snuck something in under the radar, I'll say, that we had speculated on in the off season, but they've actually done it, and we haven't even discussed it. They have the punter kick off a lot now.
Oh yeah, good point, Joe.
And the announcers have never said it because I think the announcers are focused on like where's the ball going, and everybody's still trying to figure out their strategy. But the Eagles do use Braden Mann.
You know what? You know what else we don't talk about? And there's too much going on. But we spent so much time after Donnie Jones just lamenting every punter we had. This guy's pretty good.
He's
a good punter.
I agree with that. He is a solid punter. Mm. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Are you concerned about this game? Put another way, realistically, how concerned? I am very concerned. I think the Eagles will lose the game.
I think you are wrong on that. I think you are overreacting to the Saints' early success.
Possible.
Because, remember, they played the Panthers, who are not good at all. They can't get out of their own way. And they played a Dallas Cowboy team that quit on them. The Dallas Cowboy team that we have seen on occasion, it is flip a coin. If you get up on the Dallas Cowboys, they just might give up.
That's fair.
And that's what they did against the Saints. The Saints provide a very physical form of football. Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys weren't feeling it that day, and they quit. And that's why it was
19.
That's ugly. And I have a lot of faith that our team has been reamed all week long. About stopping the run, by the way, which is what the Saints want to do.
Yeah.
So we will be prepared to stop what they do best. We will be yelled at and sheepishly tucking our tails as we get in there to New Orleans. Meanwhile, the Saints feel great about themselves. The Saints feel like they're on top of the world. They are primed and ready for a fall. Whereas we are ready to start playing like we're meant to play.
Look, it's an argument I like. It does give me some more optimism than I woke up with about this game. We'll also get to something about the Saquon drop the other day. We haven't played this audio, but it's pretty damn interesting. We'll hit that shortly. Dan in Philadelphia right now. Dan, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you? You know what else we don't talk about, Ocho?
What?
The fact you took your cousin to
a
It goes under the radar. It gets dismissed. And it's never brought up until, like, there's a serious problem.
All right, Dan, which president married his cousin?
Van Buren?
Come on, guys.
Oh, I know.
She's the most famous.
FDR?
Yes.
That's FDR.
She's probably one of the two most famous first ladies ever. Probably her and Jackie Kennedy. And she was Eleanor Roosevelt before she married Franklin Roosevelt.
Wait,
there was no name change.
She made it easy.
Yeah.
Two questions here. All right, one question. Are you envious that he's the president and you're not, or are you envious that he got to marry his
cousin? That is a great question.
Dan, you are a pain in the hiney. You really are.
So was there not a rule against that when he did this?
It wasn't a first cousin, for what it's worth.
Oh.
It was a little bit more distant.
So is not a rule against marrying a second cousin now?
Maybe legally allowed. I'm not sure the rule. But, Dan, I never looked it up because I never dated a cousin. We're taking a cousin to a prom.
But you've thought about
it. All right, Dan.
Fifth cousins once
I can't believe your parents were okay with it. That's the weird
part. That's what's strange. Maybe they didn't know.
Dan, what do you got on the sports scene? Talk to us.
Well, the sports arena, I think it's their strong arm in the city, and I don't care personally. I know there's huge Sixers fan. I'm a Sixers fan, but – I don't care if they go to Camden. I'd rather them do that than to disrupt people's families and lives and businesses and hospital routes and all that other stuff just so Josh Harris can make money. And by the way, in 5 years, the Sixers are going to suck anyway. You know, so, I mean, that's the reality that you have to face, too, and they're probably going to suck for a long time. because he hasn't done anything to keep him going.
Interesting point about the hospital routes. I hadn't thought of that. I would imagine that will be very difficult. I don't know which hospital is closest, but, boy, that's got to be, man, a game night with people trying to get out of Center City and people trying to get in Center City.
It's a disaster.
I don't like that.
You know, it's just a terrible idea. Either leave it where it is, or you know, take your ball and go home. But that's mine.
And look, to be fair, I imagine some people, you know, hospital ambulances would use the 95 corridor as well, and probably currently it gets congested.
You've got buses that go down Market Street.
I'm saying the streets in Center City.
I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to think it all through.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, give me a great answer here, a notable club.
How about the club that took out Nancy Kerrigan?
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's creative.
That is creative.
I like that.
Very creative.
Yeah, that's good. And what did she say?
Why me?
I felt bad that we as a society ripped her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because she wasn't liked.
Well,
you know,
but that kind of was.
But it was ridiculous.
Of that,
she got attacked.
Yeah, I know. She was totally attacked.
She did absolutely nothing wrong.
I have a great little inside radio story about that.
What do you got?
So I was engineering the Sixers broadcast around when that happened, and you know, in the old Spectrum, you would have the little TV up there that would show the replays. Mm-hmm. Well, the play-by-play guy wanted to see her first time back on the ice. And a media member was like, no, we need to see the replays. And I had to get in between
them. Get out of here.
It was insane.
$5 to name these two people.
I can't because one is no longer with
us. Okay,
fair enough. So I'm not comfortable.
Fair enough.
The one,
it's either Hockman or Jasner.
No.
Or Smallwood. I'm just saying.
No, it actually is none of them.
You know, by the way, we've lost
some really, them, right? No.
really notable Philly sports figures, particularly in the coverage of the Sixers in recent years. I mean, think about those three right there.
Oh, Smallwood was awesome.
He was tremendous. Yeah. He was. All right. So I want to get to some audio. I know we're kind of moved on from Monday night loss, and there's another game in 2 days. But Jason Avant said something here on WIP after the game about Saquon and the drop. I just think it's worth playing, even though it's going back a couple days. I hadn't heard anybody with this perspective. Now, this is right after the game. If you don't know, Jason hosts the WIP Eagles postgame show. Great show, by the way. Make sure you listen when you can, you know, after an Eagles game. So great show. Strong opinion. Passionate opinion. Avant right after the game on Saquon.
I am so pissed about this loss. Like, just fuming. Like, this is one of those games that can come back to haunt you later in the season.
Absolutely.
You had this team. You're a better team with them, even without A.J. Brown. Game is won so many times, and in a critical moment, third down and three, listen into this play, right? As an offensive coach, the thing that you're telling all of the players, just catch the football for the first down. You don't have to get up the field. Saquon's a great player, but in that moment did not understand situational football. He had late hands on a play that he shouldn't have late hands on, acting like he was going up the field to score a touchdown. We don't need you to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. We just need a first down.
Yes.
So all of your attention, all of your focus, the state of the football team is in your hand. They put it on you to pass you the ball in that situation. So you have to come up big and put it on the line with your focus in that moment. Everyone depended on him in that situation, and he failed, and it had nothing to do with talent. It was just a lack of focus at the wrong damn time.
Man.
Now, I don't know if we feel better or worse now. Because
Well, he's right. I mean, dropping a ball has everything to do with focus. It's incredible how you can go out there during practice and reset. Like, I've been out there on a practice field where a coach has said, all right, guys, this sucks. Start it over and do it right this time. And those dropped balls from the first period disappear. They're caught because guys are focused in. Guys are watching the ball in the whole way to their hands instead of, you know, three quarters of the way and then turning their head upfield because they're in a rush. Like, it really does matter that you watch it in. Saquon did not. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen again anytime in the near future. But then eventually he'll forget and he'll drop one again, well, and we'll come back to this drop and say, hey, look, Saquon, is this a trend or is it not? It's not a trend. Saquon is an unbelievable football
player,
and he will redeem himself.
The good news is he's going to play with a fury on Sunday.
No question.
The other news, though, is he probably would have anyway, because he's just a great football player, and he's highly motivated, and he's one of their best players. So,
cross NAS are the letters that spell.
All right, so with Football Fridays, we broadcast from Borgata. Big game, Eagles and Saints on Sunday. Certainly seems like a much greater challenge than we perceived 2 weeks ago before the season began. Eagles lost one last week. They shouldn't have. Saints have looked like one of the more impressive teams in football this year.
Speaking of impressive.
Maybe. A lot of people think so. Yeah, I mean, they've looked great. Speaking of impressive, nobody...
They're ripe, Joe.
Well, maybe as well.
They look,
anyone else want to say something that I say?
Great.
Devin, you have a comment
they're
that I'll
ready
say maybe
to be knocked down a peg.
It's Friday. Maybe. It's Friday.
Maybe.
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 I have one.
What do you got?
You're going to lose Beat the Hammer today.
Well,
ooh,
let me tell you
like
this. No, Rhea, that is a maybe.
Okay.
Wow.
No, and I will say this. I don't feel good about my chances today.
Why?
I was up till 2 a.m. last night.
Why?
I just couldn't sleep. And then I started working on
were
my
book.
Were
you partying last night at the Borgata?
Could not sleep. Tried to go to sleep. Yeah,
you were on a heater at the blackjack table last night.
You started working on your what?
My book. I'm writing a book.
So you're talking about that.
Well, yeah, he's brought it up on the air many times.
Okay.
I don't tell people what I'm writing about.
Okay.
I'm writing a book.
Well, that's why I'm just going to
let me guess. You're writing about yourself.
I am absolutely not writing about myself. That's the autobiography.
I actually guessed the same thing.
Did you?
When he first told me,
in future decades. But no,
you're writing a book not about yourself.
It's under lock and key what I'm writing about. Come on, man. I can't have someone steal this idea. All right, by the way, I got to say, I don't feel good about Beat the Hammer because I was up late, just couldn't sleep. It is what it is, happens sometimes. So if you're just waking up to the reality of Shohei Ohtani last night, I got to tell you, it was an all-time performance. So let me just read what I thought was maybe the coolest tweet I saw about his remarkable game last night. This tweet says the following. Since... all sorts of stats became official, and this goes back to 1920. Only one Major League Baseball player since 1920, over the course of his entire career, whether it's in one game or in his entire career, has accomplished these five things in a career. A game with 10 or more RBIs, a game with 6 or more hits, a career that has a game with 10 or more RBIs, a career with a game with 6 or more hits, a career with a game with 5 or more extra base hits, a career with a game of 3 or more home runs,
Jesus.
A career with a game with 2 or more stolen bases. Shohei Ohtani is the only player ever to do those 5 things in a career. He did them in one night.
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
He did so in
also,
one night.
Also, by the way, he did it to become the first 50-50 guy. Like,
that's
he had
right.
this epic night to do this thing.
That's
it's
right.
It's unbelievable.
Six hits, 5 extra base hits, 10 RBIs, 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. I mean, it's one
it
of the
really
most ridiculous
is
things
the
ever.
The gaudiest thing I've ever
that's
seen.
A
I didn't
great word.
I didn't know that the numbers could look that way with baseball.
That's something. All right, 215-592-9494. And then there's Taiwan Walker.
Opposite ends of the baseball spectrum.
Let's go to the phone. So the Eagles and the Phils both on the table. Also, in honor of Shohei creating the 50-50 club last night, now in the 51-51 club, we ask you, give us a notable club. Best answer by the end of the show. Whoever provides it wins the Phillies tickets for Monday's game. Pat's with us right now. Hi, Pat.
Hey, good morning, gang. How are you?
Doing great, Pat.
Happy Friday.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, listen, if I never see the number 99 on a Phillies uniform again, I'd be okay. But if I do, it better be Rick freaking Vaughn.
Yeah. Or they decide to honor Wayne Gretzky for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Now, seriously, though, I get it. They don't have a number 5, but God, that was awful last night.
Well, it's so bad, Pat. And here's what makes it kind of almost worse. You know going in, that's what you're going to get.
Exactly.
I mean, you know it.
But the last time he came out,
I can hope that it'll be different.
He was better.
I don't doubt it.
The last time he came out in a reliever role, like that's a major factor here.
It was one game.
He's a reliever. He comes out. He can throw a little harder. He can put a little more oomph into it, and he's actually like capable of holding down his own.
But think of it
this way: when he's a starter, I don't think it works anymore.
But I'll say this, and we could look at the numbers to know exactly. But I would guess that 9 of his last 10 appearances have been a disaster. So I don't hold out hope.
He does not have a win, I believe, in his last 12 starts.
Nope, he sure doesn't.
And by the way, it's not like, oops, almost got it done, lost, gets rocked.
Almost immediately.
Gets like,
just think
rocked.
How demoralizing that feels for that team. I mean,
totally.
The team fought back last night. It's the seventh inning, and they're grinding. They're trying.
Couple times.
It's like, holy cow, this got so out of hand, and it's all on Taiwan. How does that make his teammates feel?
Brutal.
It's like every time he takes the mound, you know you're gonna have an insurmountable lead that you can't dig out of.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, give me what you got on the Eagles.
So, you know, I'm not ready to kill Saquon about the drop. I get it. It was I lost my breath when he dropped the ball, but you know, stuff happens and it's unfortunate. But let's make it better and come out and beat these Saints on Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, it's a good opportunity to have a great bounce back win if they get it. Pat, give me a big time answer, a notable club.
How about the Breakfast Club?
Good answer.
Great one.
Good answer. I don't like the movie, but a lot of people love it.
Really?
I don't.
You need to revisit that.
But many people love it.
I love it.
Open your mind.
Why don't you like it? It's a great movie.
I don't know. They're all trying to irritate each other.
He doesn't have a good reason.
I don't know. It just doesn't.
It brings back bad high school flashbacks.
That's actually a bad reason.
So at the prep, we called it Jug, Justice Under God. Like, we didn't call it detention. It was called Jug. Justice Under God.
Oh, wow.
And
so
God
ran detention?
Sounds a
little
bit more intense.
God was the Holy Spirit in the room.
How many times did you have Jug?
Quite a bit.
I rarely ever did.
Oh, yeah, no.
Might have been once in
my
life.
No, I was racking up awards with Jug. I had one friend one year, the Jug for the rest of the year, in like February.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's lucky he didn't get kicked out. Like, Jug the rest of the year.
Wow.
His name may or may not have been Justin, but I won't say his last name.
Justin Jug.
All right, let's get to the Dallas Goedert situation. Obviously, last week not good as it relates to Hurts and Goedert being on the same page. I would say historically not good. Now, there have been great passing options with A.J. Brown and Devontae. That's going to take some away from a tight end. But, I mean, at this point, you would think the situation should be more advanced. I mean, you have a semi-veteran quarterback year 5. You have a veteran tight end who's 29 years old, and they just don't connect much. Here's Mike Quick when we asked him the other day about Goedert and Hurts. I'm done thinking that Hurts and Goedert as a combo are going to turn the corner. I just don't think they will. There's three things. Tell me what stands out to you the most. Hurts doesn't do good enough to get him the ball. Goedert doesn't do good enough to get open. Or the coordinators from the past and the coordinator this year just doesn't do good enough to get Goedert featured. Which is it? Or is it all of the above? Because it's not working.
Yeah. It's 1, 2, and 3. I think they have to do a better – I just think that Dallas Goedert is such a talented guy. You have to try and get the ball to him. But on the other side of that, Atlanta knows that he's really talented. You take that very first play that ended up going to Calcaterra. They took Goedert away. There were two guys around Dallas Goedert. They weren't going to let him get the ball. So in those scenarios, you got to find other people that you can throw the ball to. But – I still believe that Dallas Goedert is one of the best talents at that position in our league.
You know, Mike continued on by saying he totally believes Goedert is a good enough route runner, you know, against man in his zone to sit it down and be open. So I just know this. It hasn't worked well to this point. This is a game where, again, we as fans will look toward that combo because you don't have the Hurts-A.J. Brown combo. I want more than 50 yards. Frankly, I want more than like 70 yards. We'll see what happens.
I expect more than 50 yards as a U tight end / fullback. Once upon a time, when I played way back for John Gruden, he told me that number, 50 yards. If you have 50 yards as my fullback, as my U tight end, which is what Kevin Turner did here in Philadelphia, fullback / U second tight end. That's an incredible game. Dallas Goedert, 50 yards. That's not an over-the-top incredible game.
Not at
all. That's just expected for me.
I agree with
you. So it needs to get in gear in a hurry, and I expect that. I expect to see it this week.
Who do you blame the most, Sean? Coordinator, coach? Excuse me, coordinator,
I think
quarterback,
more
or tight end? Through the years.
I don't mean last week.
Like the last 3 years. Quarterback, tight end, coordinator.
I absolutely believe that coordinator could have made more of an effort to include Dallas Goedert every week. I think get him started, get him rolling, include him. We've talked about the first 15. Yeah. You know, earmark 5 in the first 15 for Dallas Goedert. He's that important to this offense.
Well, yeah.
To get the ball in his hands, get him feeling it. And I think they've neglected to do that pretty consistently.
Oh, there's no question. Look, we'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks about that and more up ahead in 1 minute. Who he blames the most for the lack of usage of Dallas Goedert. That's up ahead in 1 minute's time. Hey, Joe DeCamera here. Let me tell you about Family & Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey. You know, they keep the summer heat going with a brand new promotion. Every Friday, they're running a one-day flash sale with special discounts on different jewelry categories. 1 week, it might be diamond necklaces. Next, it's a gemstone ring. I mean, they run spectacular deals with unbelievable jewelry. But here's the catch. They won't announce it until Thursday night on their social media. So make sure you're following their social media accounts to see the great deal that they have in store for you. Get yourself to Family & Company Jewelers. They're located on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Hop, skip, and a jump right over the bridge, the river, from Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Obviously, incredibly easy to access from South Jersey. Get there. Great people, experts at what they do, beautiful store, tremendous jewelry. Family & Company Jewelers with flash sale Fridays only from Family & Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, let's talk to our Eagles reporter. Elliot Shore Parks does a wonderful job covering the Eagles. Who would have thought 2 weeks into the season there'd already be this much consternation? Good morning, Elliot.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing
let's just start with where we just were, Elliot, and then we'll broaden it out. Who do you blame the most for the lack of success with Hurts and Goddard? Is it to Goddard? Is it Hurts? Is it Goddard? Or the coordinators through the years?
It's a great question. And I really think it's a combination of Hurts and the coordinators. I don't think it's Goddard. Goddard, when he's had chances, I think he consistently makes the most of them. I definitely think if you put him on a team where he wasn't the fourth option, if not arguably the fifth option on offense, I think he'd put up better numbers. But I think it's on the coordinators to make sure he gets more involved, especially in a week like last week where we saw if they want to get the ball to somebody like Covey, they can get the ball to somebody. I mean, he had all those targets, right? Like, so it's on Goddard. But I also think Jalen doesn't really love to throw the ball over the middle of the field, especially in that short to intermediate area. He'll go deep down the middle of the field, but he doesn't really attack the middle of the field that much. And so I think that's, you know, where most tight ends work, and that's certainly where Goddard probably would be at his best. So I think it's a combination of those two things.
Elliot, I saw a tweet. It was either after or during the game the other day. It's a listener named Ryan. And I thought this was a fascinating tweet. Tell me if you think this guy's on point. This guy tweeted, I think Hurts can't see with the tall lineman, and I think that's not being talked about enough. And it's a reason why he doesn't step up in the pocket. And he goes, the other reason he probably doesn't feel comfortable and why he steps out of the pocket. Like, he's not a tall quarterback. Do you think that's an under-discussed reality that affects the Eagles' offense?
It probably is under-discussed. I mean, it's certainly something I think I've highlighted in over the past few years. I mean, he leaves the pocket way too early. And so I think there's probably a couple reasons for that. One is what you just said. I do think when you have, and now you add Mekhi Becton in there, just the height of their linemen with an undersized quarterback doesn't make it useful. But I also think the other reason he's leaving the pocket really early is you watch the tape of these first two games and you watch the end zone view. If his first read is not there, like you can see at the snap, he looks in the one direction, and if it's not there, he's almost always escaping the pocket. So I think it's a number of things, but it's definitely an issue. I mean, the more I watched that Atlanta tape from last Monday, I thought like the worse the game looked for him. I thought there was a lot of times he left really clean pocket.
Wow. And Johnny Wilson's injury, he's going to be back this week. What's the word on him?
So he did not practice yesterday. In addition to AJ also missing practice, plus Chauncey Gardner-Johnson obviously out. So, yeah, I mean, Johnny Wilson, you know, has been, I don't want to say an important part of the running game, but his role as a run blocking wide receiver. Yeah. I mean, important might be strong, but he's
well, he's been involved in double digits, and they make him the sort of like the lead blocker on a lot of these runs when we're going outside. Like, you go cover someone up and do a great job with it, and he's been very successful at that role.
Minus that huge holding penalty.
Wow, that's right.
That hurts, too. Hey, but CJGJ also. Yeah. Like, so CJGJ, where is he? Johnny Wilson, where is he? And how much does that affect our bottom line for this game?
So I would be surprised if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson played on Sunday. Now, we'll learn more today. We'll get a chance to talk to Nick. They'll have practice. So I think I'll have a better feel of that leaving the NovaCare today than right now. But I just think when you suffer a foot injury during practice, the chances of that of you playing on Sunday feel slim. Wow. And if he doesn't play, they have a few options there, two of which start with moving Avante Maddox to safety. He took way more reps at safety in training camp than he did at nickel corner, so they could potentially move him there. And if they do, then they have to decide, do they move Quinion into nickel and start Isaiah Rogers on the outside, or do you start Cooper DeJean? Mm-hmm. Is this the chance to finally get Cooper out on the field and keep Quinion on the outside? So if Chauncey doesn't play, they could go that route. They could start Tristan McCollum, which I doubt they would do, but it looks like they're going to figure something out for Sunday.
And how does this team generate more pass rush?
Well, their guys need to be better up front. I mean, there's really only two ways to generate a pass rush. You either win with your linemen up front or you blitz. And through 2 weeks, it's pretty clear Vic Fangio is not going to blitz. He's 29th, I believe, in the league in blitzes through 2 weeks. I know we love to criticize Gannon when he didn't blitz, but Fangio is just sitting back there and doing nothing as the pass rush is not getting home. So either Fangio has to change what he's doing or the guys up front have to start winning. And I don't think either is very likely, to be honest. I think that, for all the issues we've talked about with this team, the pass rush feels like the one that I don't think there is a clear solution as to how it's going to
Well, you know
better.
What? While we're on this, like Elliot, I want to play some audio of Nick Sirianni because he addressed this week with us the pass rush. James, let's play both pieces of audio we have of Sirianni talking about it, starting with James, as we labeled it, Sirianni 2. Here's Nick Sirianni earlier this week on our show on the pass rush.
Nick, are you concerned about the pass rush?
We didn't get the pressure that we needed in must-pass scenarios. That there's no doubt about that. But it just doesn't display into the pass rush. We didn't cover good enough in those areas as well. And then as far as the rest, like I'm thinking of 2 minutes. And you asked me that, I think of 2 minutes, the 2 minute drive. I don't think about, you have to earn the right to pass rush. And what do I mean by that? You have to play first and second down, or, first down to get them in second and pass or third down and pass. You have to play those good. And quite frankly, we didn't play the run good enough. And that, we got to help them out as coaches, but we also got to make sure that we, at the end of the day, football is, did I tackle well enough? Did I get off blocks well enough? Right? It doesn't matter. You have to do those things in order to succeed. And so you have to earn the right to pass rush. And we didn't do a good enough job on that. We held the score down, but again, we didn't in the scenario of the 2 minute, we got to do better. Yes, but on first and second down, we got to do a better job in the run game and to get into those scenarios.
All right, so that's Sirianni, and he's talking obviously about the run game and how it impacts the pass game. But he gets more specific, and it's declarative. And I understand why, as a coach, he said this. I wonder if he meant it. Here's when Sirianni continued talking about specific players.
I know we have the right guys. I know I've seen these guys do. I've seen Josh Sweat be a menace to the quarterback, and Brandon Graham and Jalen Carter. I've seen Bryce Huff do it. I've seen these guys do it. And now it's earning the right to pass rush, and when we have the opportunity to go out and do it. And sacks. Are weird. Sometimes sacks come in bunches, right? Sometimes you're quiet, boom, and you hit a 5-game one. So, no need to hit the panic button, but we know we need to do better in that area, and we will.
I'll say this, Elliot. Josh Sweat, who we referenced, this is incredible. I don't know how many people know this. He has not had a sack in 10 games.
No way.
Wow.
Okay.
So that's time to hit the panic button.
Let me say this. Regular season, he got one in the playoff game. So just to be fair, he got one versus Tampa.
Okay. Well, still,
but regular season.
He got one sack in the last 10 games.
Or 11, put another way.
sack in the last 11 games. Time to hit the panic button. That's not good enough. That is not production. That we need production. We need to get quarterbacks on the ground. That threat needs to be real. The front needs to work in conjunction with the back end. And our secondary is really showing signs of being good. Youthful, you know, ahead of schedule, precocious.
So, Elliot,
but it's not going to be if we can't get to a quarterback.
Elliot, what happened to Josh Sweat? I mean, he was, you know, pretty decent. What happened to the guy?
Yeah, I think that he, obviously over the passing games he's not played well, and I know that's not like the spiciest answer, but he's been really bad for the last 10 games. So you have to wonder, is that who he is now, or is he the guy that was, you know, a pretty good pass rusher? Obviously, he was an alternate, but he was a Pro Bowler, you know, in 2022. So, like, he's played at a high level. But, yeah, I mean, to go to the Nick audio, too, I'm just not sure if they do have the guys. Like, I understand he has to say that as a head coach. But to your point, Joshua's not played good in a while. Brandon Graham is probably their best total edge rusher, to be honest. And that really kind of says it all. And props to him for his 16th year being that. But that's not really what you want. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're handling Bryce Huff the right way. It's a disaster right now on the defense.
Yeah. Hey, Elliot, enjoy the game, and we'll see if it's an Eagles win. We'll talk to you next week, and appreciate you being a big part of the show. Thanks, pal.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks. All right, so Beat the Hammer coming up in about 4 minutes as I go for victory 261. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line, caller number 5, at 215-988-1258. Caller 5. 215-988-1258. The fifth caller will play Beat the Hammer coming up shortly. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, Josh Sweat at his worst, better than Taiwan Walker at his best. Let's go to the phones. Brandon right now. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning, Joe. How are you today?
Good, buddy. I wish Taiwan wasn't a Philly for the next 2 years, but, you know.
That makes it all Philadelphia.
Look, they're going to have to cut him. They're going to have to just either cut or trade him in a salary dump and pay the money. Like, they can't roll him out there again next year. They can't. The guy obviously does not have it anymore.
I agree. I'm hoping who's that guy, Painter?
Painter.
Come up next year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's April 1, but I would imagine by the summer, as long as he's healthy. And I think he would have been their plan this year. But you know what's stunning to me, Brandon? Stunning. That you don't have anyone else in the minor leagues in the absence of Andrew Painter. You don't have anybody that can give you six runs and give up three runs. Yeah. Or six innings and three runs. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I agree. But I did have a question for John.
What's up?
John, I hear you're optimistic about the upcoming Eagles game. But my question is, I had yet to see the Eagles defense stop the run. And now you're going against Alvin Kamara.
Right.
How the heck are you going to stop him?
You're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to be gap secure. This team is getting reamed all week long about failing against the run last week against the Falcons. You know, Bijan Robinson, the outside zone, getting covered up, giving up the edge. You know, not setting that edge, getting outrun to the edge, getting just completely swallowed up by offensive linemen, velcroed by blockers. That's across the board the litany, like the refrain all week long. These coaches are destroying the Eagles players for their poor play. They're going to show up. They're going to be ready to stop the run. I know that this is a really solid approach. Like Clint Kubiak, he's good. He's well-planned. He's ready to run the ball against any look. No matter what we put out there, it's going to be a matter of who wants to out-tough the other side. And I'm telling you, this Eagles group has something to prove. Vic Fangio has put them in a position this week. Hey, who's tough? Who's going to be tough enough to play for me this year? Go out and prove it against this Saints team that everyone thinks is all that and since sliced bread. Like, go out and show the world that you belong, that you're the tougher team. I think we can do that.
Well, Fangio and Kubiak, I also think, were OC and DC together in Denver. So that could work to our advantage, right?
Or disadvantage.
Well, I'm trying to be positive here, Joe. Okay?
They know each other's
I'm looking
sentences.
For silver linings.
Yeah.
Could work in our advantage.
Brandon, I'm concerned, man. I do think the Eagles are going to lose. Now, obviously, I don't say that with, you know, phenomenal conviction because, of course, the Eagles could win the game. But, man, no AJ. Jalen shakier than I think people have realized. D-line troubling with the run and the pass. road game, short week after a Monday night game. Like, that's a tough one.
And a road game in a really tough place to play, too.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, Brandon, give me a great answer for a notable club.
I also don't know if they have the talent on the line, to be honest
with you. Well, I agree with you. Totally. Although Jalen Carter is. He's got to step his freaking game up.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. But there's another paintball on that team that you need to step up to. Famous club, I'll go with Playboy Club.
Yeah, that's a big one also. We got some dirty dogs out there, but the Playboy Club is certainly one of them. All right, Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Two different poll questions. Who wins Sunday? Will it be the Eagles or will it be the Saints? Second poll question, of these two, which would you prefer for where the Sixers play? So we're taking out South Philly. We all know they're not going to be staying there forever, okay? So if it comes down to Camden or Center City Philly, and it'll probably be Center City Philly, okay, with the mayor's support behind it, but we will just ask you, based on your own circumstances in life, where would you rather the Sixers play, Camden or Center City Philly? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Coming up in 1 minute, beat the Hammers. The Hammer goes for 261.
Look at you. Your life is under control. Errands done. Groceries got them. Be proud of yourself. It's a good time to give yourself a reward. You know you've been waiting all day for your favorite tasty cake treat. But which one? There's so many great choices. Is it the delicious crimpet or the mouth-watering candy cake? Maybe a tasty baked pie. No matter what you choose or where you are, it's always time for a tasty cake. So choose what feels right and enjoy. You've earned it, and you know you deserve it. Tasty cake, accept no substitute.
All right, our contestant for Beat the Hammer today is playing for an Eagles mini helmet. So we got an Eagles mini helmet on the line, also a game day apron. And let me say this. This guy, I see the name Paul on my screen from West Grove. I think he's an idiot because he's trying to challenge the Hammer. And I don't know in what, you know, sane world anybody would choose to do so. By the way, Beat the Hammer, brought to you by First Trust Bank, the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region. Founded in South Philadelphia in 1934, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles. With an official record of 260-41, as I go for 261, let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Paul, I got to apologize to you for calling you an idiot, but, I mean, I don't know what else to think of you when you challenge the Hammer. I mean, that's outrageous.
Well, Joe, I got to be honest with you. I am officially 1-0 against you.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You want to stick with that idiot comment,
Paul,
Hammer?
You are a boss right
hold
now,
Hold on,
man.
Paul. Hang nice on, work. Paul. Hang on. Paul's on hold.
Did you just hang up on Paul?
No, he's on hold. Why is he on hold? Because you called him an idiot?
Yeah.
Wait.
Let's go to, Jake in Abington. Jake, you're the contestant. Hi, Jake.
That's not going to work.
Yo, Jake? What's going on?
Hey, Jake.
We'll get back to you, buddy. Come on, Hammer.
All right, Jake, settle down. Everybody relax. Paul, hello.
I hear you, Joe. I know you're kidding.
I'm a little scared. Look, I don't feel good because I was up till 2 a.m.
Wait, and Joe.
Excuses already rolling in.
I have to point out before you get up, we have a fan here who literally has a Hammer for President.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
I mean.
And I will accept write-in. I will accept write-in votes this November.
It's a woman. It's a woman.
My goal is 1,000 write-in votes this November.
She has a shirt that she's
is it Amy in disguise?
It is not.
She's had it made. It says Hammer for President. It's got an American flag. It's got an American flag with a. It looks like a ball peen.
What's happening right now? Was this custom made?
God bless you.
No, it's not a ball
peen. Devin, we need a picture. We need a picture on social media.
Hanging out on a Walmart rack. Hammer, the actual Hammer, President. Of course it's custom made.
I'll post a picture on the morning show.
That is great. Man, thank you. I'm going to come through for you. I dedicate, what's your name? Kathy, I dedicate this victory for you. All right, Paul. Yes. Paul, my man, I'm going to step into the soundproof booth as we begin the contest. I will wish you, Paul, good luck, sir.
Okay.
Sounds like I might need it. Show. All right.
Yeah,
all
get
right.
out of here. Scram. Right.
Settle down. Hang on.
It's good. The history of the Hammer dedicating wins has been bad for him.
That's
so
true.
We're off to a good
that's
start.
That's true. And, well, I don't want to get into the other things that he's forgotten to do. Like, he does give credence to whether he asked someone to bend a knee.
Mm-hmm.
He did not ask for the knee bend today. In previous, like, run-throughs, he's lost.
Love it.
I think all consistently right. when he doesn't.
All right. Is he safely ensconced?
Yes.
All right.
He's far away.
Paul, you ready to play a game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Our category for the week. Well, it's the game we've been talking about. We're talking Eagles-Saints trivia today. Paul, you ready to roll?
Yes, sir.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Here we go. Question number one. 55 seconds. Zach Bond is one of two current Eagles defensive starters who have played for the Saints. Name the other.
CJ Garner-Johnson.
In both 2009 and 2010, the Saints drafted a player in the first round who would go on to win the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Name one of them.
Say that again, Jimmy.
In 2009 and 10, the Saints drafted a player in the first round who would go on to win the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Name one of them.
Nick Foles.
There is only one Pro Football Hall of Famer who played or coached for both the Eagles and Saints. Name him.
Pass.
In the 1990s, this player became the only person to date who has made a Pro Bowl as both an Eagle and a Saint. Name him.
Pass.
Who was the head coach of the Saints the last time the Eagles faced them?
What's his face? He's with Denver now. I can't remember his name. Pass.
Time.
All right, we only got one, Paul. I do think these are really hard this week for what it's worth.
A lot of sorting through, I
think. Hard. They're hard.
Processing time.
I do think they are hard this week.
Yes.
So we'll see how the hammer does. We're going to put ball on hold. Let's wave the hammer back.
Corporate Fran Rojas just waved him back.
Corporate
Fran.
Love Fran. Shout out to Fran.
I love
Fran. He does a great job every Friday.
He doesn't like the corporate nickname at all.
At all.
No.
Like, really, you know, visibly chafes when
he's
you call
offended
him.
Yes. By it. So
he's very anti-corporate.
A lot lately. Yeah, I'm sorry, Fran. Joe's back.
Took him long enough.
It's a long way away where I got to be now.
It's really not
for
that
those
long.
That don't know, it's a different location.
Are you complaining already?
It's like 20 steps, Joe.
Complaining a little bit.
We can hear.
I need a key card instead of having to. I have to use my phone to access it. It's a whole thing.
Oh, my God.
But I do not look at my text messages, just to be fair. Okay.
All right, we're ready here.
Been ready.
Are there actual tears rolling down your face? Or is
no,
it?
But okay. I don't feel good about this at all. I really don't.
Good.
Yeah, that is good. I feel great about that part.
And this guy's challenged me, and I think he's an idiot, but okay, we'll find
out. Let's roll.
I mean, you guys already know. We'll see what I do. All right, let's go.
Category for the week. We're doing a little Eagles-Saints trivia. You ready, roll?
Sure.
All right, clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked.
Eagles-Saints.
Yes.
Darren Sproles was the kick returner of that 2013 playoff game that started off bad in the fourth quarter at the end of the game.
Question number one.
Sproles!
Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Zach Bond is one of two current Eagles defensive starters who played for the Saints. Name the other.
I'll come back to it.
In both 2009 and 2010.
Hold on. Garner-Johnson, go ahead.
In both 2009 and 2010, the Saints drafted a player in the first round who would go on to win the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Name one of them.
Malcolm Jenkins.
There is only one Pro Football Hall of Famer who played or coached for both the Eagles and Saints. Name him.
I'll come back to it.
In the 1990s, this player became the only person to date who has made a Pro Bowl as both an Eagle and a Saint. Name him.
In the 1990s?
Correct.
Eric Allen.
Who was the head coach of the Saints the last time the Eagles faced them?
Oh, geez. I mean, is there somebody in between? I don't know, so I'll say Sean Payton. Probably not. All right, a Hall of Famer. Say the question again.
There is only one Pro Football Hall of Famer who has played or coached for both the Eagles and Saints. Name him.
Tommy McDonald.
Time!
Mike Ditka was the answer there.
Okay.
And Dennis Allen, a little bit of a trick question on that last one, was the coach of the Saints. Then it's a 3-1 victory.
All right. I'll take that. Look, those two I didn't get were not easy. I mean,
I thought they were hard this week, period.
That was not easy. I feel pretty good about that. I really do. And I got to tell you, let's bring Paul back on the line. Paul, I don't think you should hang your head in shame. Those were tough questions. I hope the audience doesn't freaking criticize you, Paul. They were tough
questions. I said it immediately. I think they were hard
this
week.
Holy mackerel.
So,
hey,
Guys, I got to tell you, I'm from Delaware County, and all my friends are listening, and I am in big trouble.
Oh, no. At least you've won before, you know, and you didn't get a zero.
I'm 1-1. I know. But that's good. Congratulations, Joe. That was awesome.
Thank you.
It was a good effort on your part. They were tough.
They were really tough.
So, you want to go inside baseball here? The reason they were so tough, I had already picked the category, and then we're doing Bathtub Time Machine later.
Yeah.
I know what's in Bathtub Time Machine, so I had to change some of my questions so you hadn't done research prior.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair. Yep.
So, I wanted they're a little harder this week than I wanted to.
Yeah, no, those questions were off the beaten path. That is for freaking damn sure.
The first one was kind of a trick question.
And what was the first one?
That was the two defensive starters, Zach Bond and
well,
and
not
CJ.
Really a trick.
No, but I mean,
it takes you time.
It takes you time.
It takes
you to cycle through things.
There's 11 dudes.
The trick question was
the
last one. Dennis Allen was a trick question because he's still the coach.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Paul, I don't think you should hang your head in shame. And because you've beaten the Hammer before, I'm going to actually award you the Eagles mini helmet. You deserve it for being a good loser.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, Paul. No,
I don't know how I feel about
now,
that.
Paul,
that's not cool to say you deserve
that was
a good loser.
But he's still a loser. And by the way, I'll stand by what I said. Idiot. He challenged me. What did I tell you the last couple weeks? First Trust Bank, here's the deal. Here's the deal about First Trust Bank. Phenomenal with what they do. All right? You should challenge your bank. If you're not with First Trust Bank, challenge your bank. Make sure they're doing things right for you. If they are not, bang! To First Trust Bank you go. That's the way it works. That's the way it works with Beat the Hammer. 2-6-1. Not going to go over the top. Wasn't 5-for-5. But it was what? What's that? What'd you say? Damn impressive! 261. Thank you very much. Shut that down.
That's what you do!
That's how you do as well.
No one said anything.
Shut it down!
That is damn impressive!
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It was many years ago that the Broncos owner Pat Bowlen stood there after John Elway won a Super Bowl and said, "This one's for John." I say to our great listener, Kathy, standing in front of me, "This one's for Kathy." Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to
I don't think
made
she
her
accept,
happy.
I don't
yeah,
think she
honestly, at least
willingly.
Kathy was there for this. I'm happy for Kathy.
Kathy's not overwhelmingly happy about having that dedicated to her. She's just kind of like, all
I don't know about that.